Hey, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of the Tree of Life Church podcast. It's our prayer that these messages help connect you to the life, love, and power of Jesus.
Are you ready for the word? Amen. Yes, we are. It's all about the word. Amen. God's word and God speaking to us. And so we started a series last week called Background Noise, How to Hear God's Voice Through All the Noise. And I think we all would agree that the noise around us has gone up exponentially in the world today, and the noise within us has gone up exponentially in the world today. I don't know a time that I feel like I've dealt with more emotional issues or things like that, and things just, you're looking around, you're seeing things happen, and it's just tragedy, and it's just hardship, and there's so many things around there that's pulling on our attention, pulling on our ability to hear God by creating more noise, whether that be without or outside of us, but inside of us. And we need to know, the number one question I get is, how do I hear God's voice? I'm in a relationship with God now. How do I know he's speaking to me? What is he speaking to me? And we're just gonna take 3 weeks, last week, today, and next week to look at that. I wanna encourage you to come back for all the installments, or if you can't make it, then make sure you get online and here, and you can go back. You'll definitely want to grab a hold of your live notes today through the app if you have that, and you can go back and get those as well. And then next week, we're gonna talk more about like filtering through the voices to hear which is God speak, which one is really God speaking to you. We started last week with the idea of, in order to really hear God, you have to have a prepared heart. I mean, that's the beginning place for all of us. We talked about where the different kinds of soils, if you'll remember, if you were here, and we talked about the scripture, talks about your heart being the soil, and we talked about seed being sown, the sower being God, and his word is being seed, what he's speaking to you and I, and so how important it is to have a prepared heart to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. We talked about a polluted heart. I don't review a lot, but we talked about having a polluted heart. We just need to deal with sin in our life and get all that out of there, because it will hinder you from hearing from God. And for some of us, there's unrepentant sin that maybe we've allowed to be there for a while, but we know we need to just give that to God. And no one's perfect. Right? No one's perfect. We all fall. We all make mistakes. The Bible says, be quick to repent, because he doesn't want a hindrance to you being able to hear his voice and what he has for you. So we talked about that. We talked about the distracted heart. Again, there's so many voices and so many things pulling on us. We talked about the immature heart. That's probably maybe a little bit more difficult to swallow, but how God is asking us and expecting us to grow. And some of us aren't hearing God's voice because we haven't grown. And I use the example of my grandson. We have great conversation, but I'm certainly more capable of higher conversation, but he's not. And I believe that some of us are wanting to hear something from God, but we can't, because he's now talking to you at a different level, because he has an expectation for you to go, okay, you've been there long enough, take the next step. And he's speaking to you, but you're not at a place that you can receive that from him. And so how we work on that. And then the fourth soil, we talked about a prepared heart, which we've already mentioned. And it's always, his voice is always more clear when you have a prepared heart. Okay, John 10, 3 through 5 is our foundational scripture through the series. Let's read that really quick. Here we go, John 10, 3 through 5. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him being the shepherd. He opens the gate and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his sheep by name. I love that. This might be my favorite statement in this whole passage of scripture about the shepherd. He knows my name. He knows your name. He knows you intimately, personally. He's speaking to you. He's talking to you. He's calling you by name. You need to see that the shepherd knows your name. Therefore, he knows everything about you, which sometimes we think is good and sometimes we think is bad, but he still loves you. He'll still lead you, and you need him to lead you. And it's if to say in this moment, my interpretation of the scripture is he's not just calling, okay, church. He's calling Don and Eric and Dave, and he's calling us by our name because he's personal like that. Shepherd knows your name and the sheep know his voice. He leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. He's going in front of you. He'll be tomorrow ahead of you. When you get up in the morning, he'll be leading you for that day. Before you get to work, he'll be there. Before you get to school, you'll be there. I love that. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow the voice of a stranger. So many competing voices, because if you know the voice of the shepherd, you will not pay attention or listen to those. In fact, they'll run from them because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. God is so good, and he is a speaking God. And we talked last week, he's a powerful God. He's a healing God. He's a delivering God. He's a blessing God. He's all that. Yes, but he's a speaking God. And if God doesn't have a speaking problem, we have a hearing problem. And so that's what we're trying to clear all that up. And today I want to give you the why and how. Why does God want to have an individual conversation with me? And what does that look like? Because God is still speaking. And I've heard it said this, I can't remember, I'll have to go look up the quote. I heard this before. I heard it said that if God doesn't still speak to us today, then we've done a great disservice to people telling them they can have a personal relationship with God. Wow, that's a powerful quote right there. Why would we tell somebody they can have a personal relationship if they do not then have the ability then to hear his voice? Because there's no relationship without conversation or communication. And he knows your name and he knows everything about you and he wants to talk to you about that or with you, have conversation with you. And so it's so important for us to understand that. And God is not a distant God. He's not a faraway God. He's not a critical God. He's up close and personal and he wants a relationship. Take a look at Matthew 1:23. Now, this scripture is really a great one. We typically just use it around Christmas time. And you'll understand what I mean by that when we read it. But I think this is an everyday scripture in our life. So verse 23 says this, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. They're giving him the name of Jesus, but this is like his nickname. They'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us every single day of my life. Not just Christmas, right? In fact, you should get up every morning. God's with me today, and I can hear his voice. God's with me today. Every situation, you're walking into a meeting, God is with me in this meeting and I can hear his voice. Every moment that you have just this, you have to stop and look and listen. You need to remind yourself that God is with you because he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And it's important to understand that and have that just in your heart, that in your heart that you know he's with you and that he's speaking to you. So let me start by telling you why he speaks to you. And I got this one, number one, first. And you might think, and if I was to ask and kind of poll or survey everybody, it would be interesting to say, why do you think God speaks to you? And we'd get a whole bunch of different answers. And a lot of us would say, because he wants us to fulfill his purpose. And that would be true, absolutely. We'll have people that'll say, because he doesn't want me to get in trouble or he doesn't want me to get off track. Or absolutely, he wants this, absolutely. But can I just submit to you today that I think the number one reason God speaks to us is to facilitate friendship. He just wants to be your friend. I mean, if we'll start at this place because we normally don't, I think it changes everything. Because then if I understand this, then I can better understand all the other things that he'll speak to us, which we'll talk about. But I want you to understand today, he's your friend. I think about this for a minute. Think about the time you spend with friends and the time you talk with friends about things. Do you sit down and talk about a friend with a list of things you need from him or them? Well, it depends on my friend, right? Okay, yeah, maybe sometime. But no, you just sit down. I want to get together with you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to talk with you. And then you know when you have absence from that friend and that can hurt. Or you know, to think about God as your best friend. I mean, if we'll just get this switch turned on in us, I believe it'll help us hear him so much more clear. You know, for me, I like to come up to the church and sit up at the pond. I pull my truck up there and I sit at the pond and I'm just like, man, thank you, God. This campus is amazing. I mean, thank you for what you did. How did you give this to us? And this is going to sound kind of fun, but that pond is beautiful. See those ducks? You did a good job on those ducks. I don't know if anybody told you that, but those are great. Right? No. But the point is, what is your conversation like with your friend, God? He wants to have friendship. That's why he wants to communicate with you. Because he can just tell you and boss you around, but he wants a relationship, he wants fellowship, he wants communication. What does that look like when you talk to God? And the more, the closer friend he is to you, the more you can hear his voice. I mean, I wonder what he thinks like in that, because typically our relationship with God, what kind of friend is it? I mean, you know, you have people or people will say, you only want to be with me because you need something. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever had anybody tell you that? You only call me when you need something, right? Maybe you're the one that they only call when they need something. I wonder if he feels that way sometimes, right? Don't raise your hand. He just wants to be your friend. And if we can lock in with a friendship, developing, creating, working, building on, then I believe that helps us hear him better. Look at what it says in Exodus 33:11. How do I know he wants to be our friend? Well, here's what he said to Moses. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. I thought he spoke to Moses and said, get my people out of there. I thought he spoke to Moses with a burning bush and said, deliver. He did that. I thought he spoke to Moses and said, I'm gonna give plagues on this place if you don't. I thought he corrected Moses because he hit the rock twice instead of one. I thought he did all that. But look what it says. It says he spoke to him as one face to face as a friend. I think all the other things flow out of that. So we see that he wants to be a friend. Number two, God speaks to give guidance. And so the Lord sees dangers ahead of us. He knows the road we should take and the road we should not take, and he will guide you. But listen to this, the tension in that, you're headed in a direction because you felt it was the right way, and God comes in and wants to speak to change your direction. There's tension in that. And a lot of times, that's why we don't want to hear them. I thought I was on the right path, and God says, I'm seeing things that you don't see. We need to change direction. Well, the reason why I'm here is because I think this is the right path. Understand, he sees and knows more than we know. What a great guide he is for you and I. He speaks to give you guidance. Why? Because he's your friend and because he loves you. And God sees beginning to end. Understand, God has a perspective of things that you don't have, you won't have, you can't have. God guides on his perspective. He sees things about your job you don't see. Well, I wish I would have known that before I said yes to the job, right? It's like that. Well, he was probably trying to tell you because he's your friend. He sees things about your friends that you don't see. He sees things about the person you're dating that you don't see. He sees things about the one that you want to marry that you don't see, that you can't see. But I love them. He's like, but you're not seeing what I'm seeing. You don't love them. No, I'm just kidding. He wants to guide you not by feelings, but by his voice. By how he prompts you in your spirit. You just have to have ears to hear, which is what we're talking about. So he sees things. He sees things about the home you want to buy, even though it passed inspection. He sees things about the car you want to buy, even though it's a good price. He sees things about the job you're going to take because it's more money than any job you've ever had. And he's like, yeah, but I'm Jehovah Jireh. The deal you want to close. He loves you. See, he wants to guide you. He'll speak to you in those things. We have to learn how to hear in those situations. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, message paraphrase. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Not your friends, not your relatives, not your accountability partner, not your mentor. They're helpful, but even they can miss it. He's the one speaking to you to keep you on track, because it's impossible for us to know what he knows. It's impossible. He's a good father and wants to help you with what you cannot see. Number three, God speaks to provide perspective. A little bit similar, but let me explain it for you. He speaks to provide a perspective. It's a perspective that he has that you don't have. And let me say this, not everything you see is what's really going on. Not everything you see is what's going on. Now, a few months ago, we had a series called All Dressed Up. It was spiritual warfare, and I would encourage you, if this is interesting you a little bit more, you want to dig a little deeper, to go back and listen to that series. I don't have time to review all that, but everything you see in the natural is not everything that's going on, because there's a natural realm and there's a spiritual realm. You understand God operates primarily in the spiritual realm, but he operates in both realms. He sees both realms. And let me just, for way of review, God is a spirit, the Bible says, and those who worship him in spirit and in truth, spiritually and naturally. But God is a spirit. Jesus, we're going to celebrate his crucifixion, resurrection. The Bible says he was in the spirit realm, heavenly realm. He came to the natural realm. Then he went back to a spiritual heavenly realm. Then he came back to the natural realm. And then he ascended to the spiritual realm at the right hand of the Father, seated in heavenly places. And then you and I, when we became born again, we said yes to Jesus and we experienced that resurrection and that death, burial, resurrection in our own life. The Bible says then now we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. Well, no, I'm right here. Well, you are in the natural. but there's a spiritual part of you that's seated in the heavenly realm. And we know according to Ephesians 6 that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but power, principalities, rulers of darkness, and heavenly realms. And we also know in Ephesians that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. So your blessings in another realm, your battles in another realm, God is in that realm, Jesus is in that realm, and the spiritual you is in that realm, and he operates and sees in that realm, and you don't. So he has a perspective you cannot have, but you have the ability to hear from him and operate accordingly. And really the reality is for you and I, everything we experience in life has a beginning in that realm. The root is in that realm, and it just manifests in the natural realm. So that's where his perspective is from. So as much as you think, no, educate, research, get, you know, everybody else's opinion input, no one could ever have that perspective but God, and the Holy Spirit speaks that to us. So we have to understand that. So not everything you see in the natural is really what's going on. God wants to reveal something to you in the realm he lives in. We have to understand that. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10 says this, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his what? Spirit, by his perspective. He's revealing, he's speaking it to you. God would love to show you some things. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says this, for we walk by faith, not by but by every word of God. We walk by what God's seeing, what God's speaking to you and I. And the scripture says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we need to put listening ahead of looking. So we go through life and just don't trust what you see, trust what you hear by the Spirit of God. What the Spirit of God is saying to you. I heard this story. I think it's a great story. A pastor told it that he had heard another pastor say. And so he was at the University of Wisconsin football game. So he's at the game. It's packed out. And the University of Wisconsin is playing football. And they're losing terribly. It's just terrible on the field. There really wasn't anything to get excited about or cheer about. But every once in a while, there'd be this roar from the crowd. This crowd would just roar and cheer. And it made no sense to the players and on the field because it's like they're not doing anything good. It's a terrible game. And yet there's this roar and cheer from the crowd. And what they eventually found out was at the same time the football game was going on, there's a Milwaukee Brewers baseball game happening. And a whole bunch of people in the stands had earbuds or you know, headphones on, listening to the game. And so every time the Brewers made a good play, scored a run, made an out, there's this cheer and it doesn't even go with what's happening on the field. And what conclusion he drew from this was that you can be looking at defeat but listening to victory. Come on, somebody. That'll preach right there, right? We don't have time. You can be looking in the eye of defeat and listening to the voice of God. God's voice is victory. And it doesn't matter what it looks like around you. It could be terrible, horrible, and we live in a world that's like that. But what's happening in you, what he's speaking in you, is how to rise up in victory above that because God's voice is a voice of victory. So it's not about what we're seeing when we see defeat. It's about the victory that we're hearing from God on the inside of us. They were looking at one thing in one realm and listening to the thing in another realm, and they were responding to what they were hearing, not to what they were seeing. And God would love for you to respond to what you're hearing more than what you're seeing. And we live in a world we see terrible things we should never see and experience, and it's not getting any better. It's just the world that we live in today. It's the last days, and we have to understand that we cannot be pulled into that the world's ways of what we see. We have to position ourselves to hear his voice to overcome those things, not to be pulled into those things. But as he speaks to us a way out. He speaks to us a way of victory. He speaks to us as being salt and light when everyone else is looking at defeat. He speaks to us of being a church that walks arm in arm despite our differences and diversity that can come and actually make a difference around us in a divided world today. He speaks to us to be the ones that bring help and support in times where it looks like everybody is suffering lack. And it's important for us to not get drawn into everything we see, but to listen to his voice, especially in those moments, the voice of victory in every situation. He's speaking to me about Tree of Life being a tree of life to a lost and hurting world, not in here, but out there. And can I tell you, he is speaking so much about Easter. I mean, I can't begin to tell you. We need to hear his voice about our part in Easter. I mean, every day, every week, but there's the world sees Easter different. And so he's speaking how we can be a tree. I see in my spirit this church rising up with a voice in these times, a voice of victory, because it's the voice of the Lord. And so he speaks. What does it look like when he does it? Well, there's several different ways. When you look through the scripture, what a great study that would be. I've done a little bit. You can do that on the way God speaks. We see in scripture a lot of different ways on God speaks to us. There's this passage that we'll talk about that the mighty waters, his voice was in the mighty water. There's that speaks about his word, and the word of God is the voice of God. And I want to say today that he's still speaking. See, some people, and there's a teaching out there, that the Bible we know to be the voice of the Lord. And when it was written, and this is it. Can I tell you? This is amazing. It is God's voice. We'll look more next week at this. But he's still speaking to you. This and they'll never contradict what he shares. We'll filter through this and we'll talk next week about it. But listen, understand, he's speaking to you today still. Yes, one way is through his word. One way is through pastors. But listen, everything man says, pastor, apostle, teacher, what, prophet, everything, you need to filter that through the word of God. You need to test and prove that through the Holy Spirit and the word of God. Hey, so don't take my word for it. Take his word for it. The voice of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of ways, but the way I see, the way that God uses the most, it's the one I believe he's using more and we're not really recognizing necessarily. And that's the gentle whisper of God. See, he doesn't have to compete with the noise of this world. He's God. He just needs his people to tune into his voice and put out all the background noise. He's not gonna shout over the top of. He's not gonna, this boom, he can be louder than anything. He's not going to do that because he's God. And it's this gentle nudging, prompting in our spirit when we hear God saying something. And let me give you a quick story to illustrate this. If you were to go through 1 Kings 18, chapter 18 and 19, you'll see the prophet Elijah in a time where Israel was going through a very dark time. God wanted to show himself strong, so he spoke to Elijah and said, put up a contest between me and Baal, the god Baal, and the prophets, because the people of God were following the false god. And so they did that, and 450 prophets of Baal came, and they created altars and cut an ox in half, and they put wood and all this, and then the prophets of Baal spent time trying to call fire from their false god Baal, and nothing happened, of course. And then Elijah said, yeah, put some more water on there. Let's make sure it's really, dig a trench, fill it up with water. Called on God, fire from heaven fell, burned it all up. So Elijah then, in this great moment, put to death the 450 prophets. And then all of a sudden, he gets this note from Queen Jezebel that says, I'm gonna make you like one of them. I'm gonna kill you, basically. So all of a sudden, the greatest moment of the day, where all of Israel's watching, and now they're turning back to God, because God, fire from heaven fell and burned up all this. Now the prophet Elijah begins to run in fear for his life. And we find him depressed and hiding in a cave. And God shows up and says, I see where you are. I know what you're going to, and I want to speak to you. I want to show you, and I want to speak something to you. So 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12 says this. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Those that have been in church, in another translation says this, you'll hear it this way, a still small voice. That's what I grew up on. This is God whispering to you. He doesn't have to shout. He doesn't have to compete. He's just speaking to you, a still small voice. We need to learn to recognize the whispers of God. And he's doing it more than you realize. So I'm gonna give you four areas that you can recognize his voice. Four areas you can recognize the whispers of God. Number one, he whispers encouragement. I mean, he's your friend. He's encouraging you. Can I tell you, all day long, he's whispering encouragement to you. It could be the worst day of your life, the best day of your life, and he is whispering encouragement to you. Not just when you need it. He's just always encouraging you because he's encouraging God. He's a good God. What's he gonna speak to me? He's gonna speak to me encouragement. He is doing this all day. He's not yelling. He's not fussing at you. He's encouraging you. Romans 8:16, New Living Translation. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. He's encouraging. He's encouraging his kids. The whisper of God is an encouragement for his children. You are my child, he's whispering to you. You are one of my kids. What God would say to you is he sees you as part of his family. You may not feel like it. You may be rejected by everybody else, but not by God. And he's speaking to you, and you may feel the most broken, the most rejected ever. And in that moment especially, he's whispering to you, you're my child. You're part of my family. Let everybody else reject you. But not me. You're mine. Isaiah 55:3, Message paraphrase says this, pay attention, come close now. Listen carefully to my life-giving, life-nourishing words. I'm making a lasting covenant commitment with you. The same that I made with David, sure, solid, and enduring love. Life-giving. What's the whisper of God sound like? Life-giving, life-nourishing words. Now you screwed up again? I'm done with you. You've had too many. No. That's the enemy's voice. And it's a loud one. But God's voice is speaking life-giving, life-nourishing words because you're his child. And I want to say this. I promise you that every Sunday you come in here, you're going to hear life-giving, life-nourishing words because that's our God. You're not going to get beat down. You're not going to get put down. You're not going to get torn down. We're going to tell you God is for you and not against you. Amen. And God is going to remind you that he's in a covenant with you. He knows what you did, but he still loves you. God will say, you're my child. See, I have two daughters, you know that, and they do things I don't like, but they're still my daughters. And it seems like, in fact, when we make mistakes and do things, it feels like not I'm not pushed away. It feels like I'm more drawn to that. And my girls know, if you're asking, my girls know that no matter what you do, you will always be my daughters. No matter how far you run or whatever you will always be my daughter, and I will chase you down and love you no matter what. So you know that you're my daughter. You can't get away from me. You're stuck with me. And I will tell you, I love you, and God has a better way. That's the whisper of God. That's the whisper of God. He tells you, I love you. He'll say, I'm proud of you, not through the lens of what you're doing, but through the lens of who you can become. I know you're doing this, but I know that's not who you are. Number two, God tries to encourage you. Number two, he whispers warnings to us. Now, older Christians will understand this phrase, I got a check in my spirit. Right? My wife hates that. She's like, it's not a check. A check's like a good thing. It's an X. And so I'm going to say, I got an X in my spirit. It's this, don't do that. And we don't usually recognize it till we've already done that. I'm like, oh, that's what I should have listened. That's what right. But a check in your spirit. He's warning you. Don't go this way. Don't go that way. I wouldn't do that if I was you. Acts 16, 6 through 7. Here's an example. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Are you kidding me? Why would you not preach the word? They need God in Asia. But what they did not know, the warning was, they did not know that there were people there waiting to kill them or hurt them or persecute them. So even good things, you need to hear from God. Even good things. How bad is it to go preach the gospel? Why wouldn't I? Not there, not right now. It was a warning from the Lord. So good things and not so good things. We don't see what God sees, right? And he's going to warn us if we will listen to him. You want this happening in your life. You have a God that wants to speak to you some warnings. He'll whisper, don't do it. He'll whisper, don't date him or date her. But I love them. He'll whisper, don't marry him or marry her. He'll whisper, don't stay out late because we know nothing happens good after 12, right? Don't whisper that, don't. Mom and dad, yeah, right here shouting on the front row. He'll whisper, time to end that. Time to tell someone. Time to take off the mask. Get help. A Holy Spirit will tell you, you're not going to be able to do this by yourself. Isaiah 30, 21 says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's not the way, don't walk there. Number three, he whispers direction. You're looking for direction in life. You're trying to make a decision about a job, about a home, about marriage, about dating. He whispers direction. God will speak to you that way. So you need to involve him in the process. How about before you make a decision? Involve him in the process. Put it before the Lord. Luke 2, 27, this is Simeon in this passage, this particular scripture. He's being led of the Lord to go pray for the Jesus as a child. He's getting dedicated. So moved by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts, moved by the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, he prayed a blessing over him. Simeon was led by the Spirit of God. Acts 20, 22, Paul gets direction from God. And now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but I know God's compelling me. He's speaking to me. He's directing me to Jerusalem. You won't always know. In fact, you mostly won't what's on the other end, but that's where you got to trust God. That's where you have to see him as a friend, close as a child. God may say some specific things to you like, slow down, you're doing too much. Or the opposite, he might say, do it now, pick up the pace. Why can't today be the day that you do that? Why can't today be the day that you serve, you give, you say yes? Why can't today? Why don't you take the next step? What are you waiting for? Take another step. And then number four, he whispers dreams. I'm so grateful for the dreams that God has given me. We're living some of those out. And I'm grateful for the dreams that God gave my mother and father when they planted this church that we're living out. We've seen them come to fruition. I'm grateful for that. I remember there was a time in my life, it was before I was married 28 plus years ago, 30 years ago perhaps. I was just new on staff here at the church. And we had some guest speakers that had Bible schools all over Europe. And I was invited to go teach in a Bible school in Estonia and a Bible school in Sweden, a week each. And I thought, why me? Why me, God? Why me? And I didn't know what he was doing in the moment. And so I'm over there and I'm teaching. And before we ever start, I'm staying the night in this place. And I just in the morning have some breakfast. I walk down. It's right on a lake to the water. And I'm like, wow, God, why all the people that you could have brought over here? Why me? And I promise you, it was like this voice spoke to me, a loud voice. I even looked around like, wow, who's there? And it was like, if you always put me first or put me first, I will take you places you never dreamed you could go and you'll do things you never dreamed you could do. And I've tried my best to live that way. And I don't know that I've got it right all the time. I certainly haven't all the time, but hopefully most of the time. And it just took me, I'm going to dream bigger dreams than I've ever dreamed in my life. And God's going to put those things in my heart. I'm going to look for the dreams of God, and seen those things come to pass, a lot of them, and still some too. And some of the things we shared in our Go messages are just dreams that have been in my heart for a while, and God will give you those things. Job 33, 14 through 15, New Living Translation, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I go to sleep at night and wake up with this vivid dream. And have, I don't know if I've had that experience. It's more just like impressions in my heart. I said, when I wake up in the morning, my dreams are like, I'm like Jason Bourne saving the world. That's my dream, right? I'm like, I'm signing a baseball contract, whatever, right? It's just different. And it's more about what I ate or watched, I guess. But it's an impression that you feel that God's just showing and revealing something to you. When deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds, and so it may be something in the middle of the night, and people ask me all the time, hey, Pastor, I had this dream. I'm like, I don't know, what's God saying to you? And we'll talk about next week how you kind of filter that. And so I wanna say that you need to know God's putting something on the inside of you so you can be a solution. Because we live in a crazy world and he needs his people dreaming dreams. Yes. God dreams, amen? God dreams, because this world needs this church. Acts 2:17, in fact, says this, in the last day, God says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Can I tell you, we're in the days that he's trying to get those things across to us more than ever, and not just to us. Can I tell you this morning that you need to take this, what we're learning, and then you need to teach it to your kids and your teens, because God will speak to them. And if our kids will learn to hear his voice, And our teens will learn to hear, they'll avoid a whole lot of the heartbreak and heartache that we walked through because we weren't sure. And there's so many things pulling on them, and take some responsibility and help teach your children how to hear their, but you have to be able to hear it first. Because God's speaking to them in dreams, visions, words, impressions inside of them. So God is saying, go all in. God is saying, give your best. God is saying, make a difference. Be a tree of life to a lost and hurting world. And I really feel compelled to really, we got to do our best for Easter. Because he wants to bring in a big harvest. We need to position ourselves to hear God speaking. We need to say, here I am, Lord. We need to say to God, speak, Lord, I'm listening. In fact, 1 Samuel 3:9, and a great passage of scripture, and Eli, so Eli told Samuel, Eli was the head priest at that time, and Samuel was just a little boy, scholars believe about 12 years old. He was the son of Hannah. Hannah was barren and believed God for a child and believed God for it, and would come to the temple every day to pray for that, and God blessed her with one, and she brought him to dedicate him, and I'm giving him back to the Lord. He is to be stewarded for the Lord, and so now at the age of 12, he ends up in the temple under Eli, and he keeps hearing this voice call his name, call Samuel, Samuel. And he gets up and thinks Eli's calling him. And he does it one time, and he does it two times, and he does it three times. And then Eli finally says, next time that voice speaks to you, say, here I am. I'm listening. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And so the fourth time the voice comes, and Samuel gets up and responds. Let's read it. He says, Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so Samuel went and laid down. And of course, on the fourth time, can I just tell you, that excites me. And what about the fifth time and the sixth time and the seventh time and the eighth time and the ninth time? He doesn't give up on you. And here's a 12-year-old kid, immature, not knowing anything, hearing from God. He didn't understand it was God, but someone, a parent, a figure, coached him and told him, speak, Lord, your servant is all, that we would have that posture, that he can speak to anybody. You don't have to be the pastor, the priest. You don't have to. He's speaking to you right now. If we will just say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And he'll keep doing it over and over. Why? Because he loves you. You're his child. Because he's got a good plan for your life. He wants to warn you. He wants to guide you. He wants to have a friendship with you. Are you listening?
Thanks again for joining us this week. We pray that this message encouraged and inspired you. If you want to find out how you can be a part of Tree of Life, just go to our website, treeoflifechurch.org. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend.